I want you to play a game with me, Ray.
I don't want to play a game.
Oh, please.
No.
I said play a game with me, Ray. Man.
Right.
Lovely. I want you to imagine a character.
His name was Fahok. It was spelt with a P-H, so it sounds like Fahok.
Please!
All right, Fahok. Kanda Fahok.
Down. Please!
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Subbeating, sponsored by Calm. I'm Victor Manis, along with Sonny Bunch and Jonathan V. Last. Just a reminder, The Subbeacon is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Look under podcasts, search for Subbeacon. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review, especially those of you who left very bad reviews because you thought that we had actually switched one of our co-hosts who was just taking off for a week.
This is what happens when you mess with the people.
Gentlemen, how are we, Sonny? How are you? And listen, we're looking at you now. How are things at the International Space Station?
It's good up here. Ground control to Major Vic.
You know what? Very good. Good reference, by the way.
Thank you.
Excellent song. You remind me of like John Hurt in Contact. Were you going to say that?
I was just about to say, can Sonny send us the plans to the backup right. ring game?
You have to think. You have to think like they do. So anyway,
how would you like to get back in the game?
So it's nice to see. We're looking at you, Sonny. You're in your office.
Yes.
In Dallas.
Yes.
And you have what you look like. I thought you were in the back section of Spencer's there with that black thing there with the foam on. What is that?
No, it's just
that's a microphone.
No, it's a that's the. I don't understand. Is that a sex toy joke?
No, once he has it near his mouth, it makes sense.
Oh, I say you're doing product placement for the Sharper Image. That's great. Okay, how are you doing? What's going on? What have you been doing?
How was the drive?
It was great. The drive was as good as it possibly could have been. It was exactly 10 hours from DC to Nashville and then exactly 10 hours from Nashville to Dallas. Granted, there were two children and a dog and a wife in the car the whole time. It's not exactly pleasant.
Five living organisms make it to Dallas?
Yeah. Yeah, we all made it. There were no murders. So
which was the highest maintenance? Children, dog, wife.
Children, definitely children. keeping them amused, the baby in particular, because you can just throw the tablet in front of the 4-year-old.
Yes.
And she's fine. But it was good. It was literally as good as it could have been. We hit no traffic. We got to Nashville at like 3 p.m, went to a park, ran around, went to a Chewy's for dinner, had some authentic, authentic Nashville dining.
You're in Washington, D.C. area.
You know, Nashville is like a mecca for culture and dining and all that. And I saw Chewy's a block from the hotel and I was like, that's it. That's where we're going. That's where the family is having dinner. So it was a big win. Big win.
That's exciting. When you arrived in Dallas, did you like walk out, look around, and were like, "Nah, I think we'll just go back"?
When we got to Dallas,
yeah,
no. When we got to Dallas, I was like, okay, this is great. Now, what are we going to do for the next week until our stuff gets here? Because
right.
it took a week for the boxes to show
Send
up.
Send the kids out into your giant backyard.
Well, I wouldn't say giant, but it's a solid backyard. It's a solid backyard with the nice thing about it is that it has like a play set already there. It's got like swings and
they didn't take it away from
yeah, no good. it was there that conveyed in the sale. So
excellent.
Were
the kids freaking out about it?
The 4-year-old keeps telling everyone she has a park in her backyard.
Oh,
yeah. She has a park in her backyard.
The Texas people are like, I don't understand. They don't get what its life is like out here. Do they?
They don't understand what it's like to live like an animal in a townhouse. Yeah.
And how's the weather? How's the weather down there? Because it's gorgeous here today.
Yeah, I was listening to the Sports Junkies on the radio.com app. It was funny. Wait, so the only thing I was really looking forward to missing, I guess, if that's the way to put it, was 106.7 The Fan, the local sports station in Washington, D.C. But I can get it on radio.com. It's fantastic. This is not even a sponsored content. I just started using it.
Mm-hmm. That's radio.com.
Radio.com. You can get a discount code at rebellermedia.com for radio.com. I forget where I was going with this.
What? Weather. It's colder than people think.
I heard it was like 70 degrees out there.
Not today. Today it's about
back down to 35.
41, 35 and raining.
Okay.
So back to normal. It's back to normal now.
The weather here has been fine. It's been a little bit rainy, which is annoying. The park is closed when it's raining, you know, so we can't put the kids outside. But
and neighbors?
We got a very nice box of cookies from one of our neighbors. I've not yet. My wife has been texting with them to set up a play date, but that is mm-hmm. has not
so
yet.
So here's the most occurred. Important question about your neighbors.
Yes.
Do you have any teenage girls living nearby?
Because I need to go tell them that Vic Mattis might show up. Is that the
Listen, I would not ask Vic that question, but I would ask you that question as a normal human being. Because what the presence of teenage girls in your neighborhood means,
yes,
is infinite babysitting.
Well, this our realtor Jenny Kellogg has been a very fantastic resource in this regard. There's a local premiere for one of the Fangoria movies coming up, VFW, and I have to go to that. And I wanted to bring Beth, but we were like, okay, we need to get a babysitter. Who are we going to get? So we just called up our realtor, was like, hey, do you have any recommendations on a babysitter? She had a name in like 10 minutes. It was great.
That's fantastic. So. We do have a babysitter, a high schooler down the street. She's fantastic. The other day, you know, she walks up and then she goes down to the local high school. I'm driving. I'm getting into my car. And then I thought, well, it's on the way. So I just thought maybe I rolled down my window and I'd say,
"Do you need a ride?"
Yeah, no. I mean, is that wrong?
It's cold outside.
Do I say, "Hey,
you know,
hey, you and your friend, you and your friend need a ride down to the school? I can."
I didn't do that.
Come on, come on. I'm not an animal. Come on.
Because they would look.
I mean, I thought about it. I thought
getting dropped off at school by
my
old man.
Subaru Legacy. Yes, and by the creepy old Asian man.
I didn't know your grandfather was Filipino.
Grandpa, thank you. I did that, but it is awkward. I mean, do you say hi or whatever? I get a little nervous, so I'm just like, do my thing. That's
it's literally. This is literally. Do
my thing. I mean, drive.
I was just singing some of the bars of "Don't Stand So Close to Me," but that literally is like, you know, that is like the song you're singing. You're telling us the song,
just like that old man in that famous book. Okay, JBL, what's going on?
So, I had something happen to me over the weekend which has never yet happened in 11 and a half years of parenthood.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Go on.
Because this is a Vic Mattis special.
Oh, boy.
G-Money is 3 years old.
Ah.
And he does pretty good with the potty.
So do I.
But he likes to hold it. He likes to hold it sometimes for days.
Oh.
Mm-mm. Number two?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on Saturday, he was like, I gotta poop. Daddy, keep me company. So, like, I go in, I sit down next to him on the toilet, and he starts, like, grunting, and he's gritting. His teeth are bared and clenched down. He's getting red-faced. And I hear what sounds like... On the Alaskan cruises that we used to take for the old place.
Yes. You
remember when the glacier calves? And it's just like,
yeah, it comes down. Yes.
Down into the
yes.
I hear a sound that sounds like that. And he looks at me. He's the most angelic, beatific look he's ever given me. Mm-hmm. It's like, I got my poop in the potty.
It's
like, great, great. So he hops off and I look in and it looks like there's a damn brown trout in there. I am not exaggerating when I tell you that if this thing was 18 inches, it was an inch. And it was so thick around. I am not kidding. This is for real. I very nearly reached in
to
pull it out so I could lay it on a piece of plastic and measure it. Because I've never in my life seen anything like it.
This is literally a South Park episode.
Yeah, no, I mean, yes. That's like how Elvis died, you know, is something that big. Is
so G-Money weighs 27 pounds. This thing like must have been 4% of his body weight.
Yeah.
He then flushes the toilet, and it clogged.
Of course.
Not because of toilet paper. No, this isn't like the 3-year-old got into, like, I was supervising the toilet paper situation. Yeah. It clogged. So I go up into the attic and I get the plunger and I'm kind of like, wow, I can't believe it. He is now a man. This
you
is
keep,
like his
You keep
yeah,
your plunger in the attic?
Yeah, because we never use it. We never use it. I keep it in the outside attic, not the inside attic, because we have two attics. And so,
attics.
Anyways, I'm thinking to myself, like, this is now he is a man. Like, he clogged a toilet. This is crazy because we have really good toilets. We have the fancy Gerbers, right, which are that anybody who does plumbing will tell you Gerber. Gerber's the best. They're better than the overrated Totos.
So Gerber, they make baby food and toilets.
Can you
company. Sorry. Okay.
Can you flush can you flush a whole box of golf balls down there?
So, oh, yeah. So I get out the plunger, and I'm going at it, and I'm going at it, and I'm going at it with the plunger. And this thing is so bad that it breaks the plunger. So we have one of the old, like, the rubber, it looks like a little half cup.
So what do you mean it broke it? It went inverted?
I mean that the
handle then you gotta snapped flip off?
It. The, no.
Yeah,
the
splashes
rubber,
everywhere?
The rubber cracked.
Oh,
wow.
So the rubber on the thing cracked. Now, it is possible this has something to do with it having been cold, it being in the attic.
Well, yes. you put it in the attic where it's exposed to all of the heat and the cold.
But, yes, the elements.
But the point is,
it's not a barrel of bourbon.
To the Home Depot and get a fancy new beehive.
Oh yeah, did you get the one with like the like structure that creates the suction and the vacuum? Yeah,
and
you got to get
even
that.
Even with that, I had to go at that thing for a good 3 minutes before it finally cleared. I don't know how this is physiologically possible, Victorino.
There are certain websites that you could have recorded this and it would
because
have been very popular.
It was, I've never seen anything like it. I don't know how somebody fits that in their body when they are as tiny.
Well, it's that had to come out.
Oh.
That had to come out. It reminds me of a Brit. A Brit once telling me when he was traveling overseas and something horrific that he had seen in a third world toilet, and the way he described it was it was like a dreadnought of the chocolate variety. Is what he said. I kid you not.
It was insane.
Okay.
Wait, that was the most exciting thing that happened to me this weekend. I still can't stop
thinking
about it. It was nuts.
Thank you, JVL.
How are you, Victor?
Well, speaking of which, you know, I had a nice Super Bowl, and what I did, speaking of which, I made chili on the Saturday before because I put 2 12-ounce bottles of Sam Adams in my wonderful Le Creuset, when it's ready at first, as you know, with these things,
is that a crock pot? What is it?
Yes,
a Dutch
giant,
oven?
A giant Dutch oven?
No, that's not
aside.
A crock pot. It's
no,
a Dutch
it's a
oven.
Dutch oven. Jokes aside,
those things are so expensive.
We have one of them. I don't remember.
Is it one of the Star Wars?
Maybe from the wedding. We've had it for a long time.
Is it one of the Star Wars Le Creusets?
What? No, and it retains heat. It retains heat amazingly. So I put it there, but it does take about a day or so to congeal and to get all the flavors together. So in the bitter, because when you first have the chili with the beer, there's still a little bit of a bitterness there, but the next day it's great. I am still eating that chili. And it's now, so I'll have some today, Thursday. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully it's not an explosive situation. Speaking of explosive situations, over the weekend, Bad Boys for Life continued to blow up the box office with $17.7 million, followed by 1917 with $9.5 million. And in third place was Doolittle with $7.6 million. Box office thoughts. I'm surprised that it seems like it's the same movies every week.
Well, it is kind of a dead time at the box office. This is like between
Super Bowl
and the Oscars and everything else. It is just like a total dead zone. This is why we're getting, you know, a bunch of terrible horror movies like The Turning dumped at this time of year. I don't know. I don't really have any box office thoughts. I'm kind of glad to see 1917 doing well. It's nice to see a movie without big stars and an original concept.
It swept up BAFTA.
Yeah, it won a bunch of BAFTAs. That's not surprising because it is the BAFTAs, of course, is the British Oscars, and this is a very British movie starring very British people, directed by a very British person. So,
and how do you think it's going to do on Sunday?
If I had to guess, 1917 takes Best Picture and probably Best Director. I think those
not bad
are
for a gimmick movie.
Those are probably the only major awards that it wins.
Cinematography?
Roger Deakins.
It might win cinematography. Love Roger Deakins. Deakins might win.
Lighting? I mean, it should get a bunch of technical awards.
Right? I don't know. We'll see. It's always hard to tell what's going to happen with those. I don't know.
They are doing major construction, by the way. I don't know if you can hear it on your
I could actually hear that, yeah. Time.
But they're actually going to break through the wall, and we're going to see the construction guys at any moment.
I thought Paul Crichton was like a banging on the table back there.
Yeah, that's right. It's no. It's insane.
Paul really hates 1917, and he's so upset.
Gimmick movie. Yeah. Gimmick movie.
He's sawing. He's sawing his way out of the studio.
Can we pause here, Victorino, to thank Paul? Because it's the first time we've ever had somebody.
He was
like
in my
shout out.
He's in my shout out. If you want me to do it later, I can do it. We can do it now. Paul Crichton producing this episode of the Sub Beacon.
This show would not happen without Paul having made it happen.
He is a technical genius. He's like Sherman from Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Anybody from the SSEU who wanted to send Paul a thank you, because otherwise this thing wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They should send it to like either me or Vic, and we will get it to him.
Yep.
Because he at least deserves some Old Forester or something.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow, they're now actually.
Yeah, that's I can really hear that.
Do we want to put this on pause while this ends? What do you want to do?
Yeah,
this is insane.
Let's pause. Do you hear that, Sonic?
I can hear it. It stopped.
The limo song, and then it's going to start up again the people at the Monuments Economic Group. Okay.
Well, we'll figure it out. It's fine.
Okay. I guess we're going to continue right along.
You know, I did not realize that the Oscars were this weekend.
It's happening.
So no pool. We didn't do nothing special for the Oscars.
Didn't.
No, that's because I've dominated you guys so thoroughly in every draft of every variety that we've done. I figured you guys just didn't want to do it this year.
I was going to pick Moonlight. Thank you. Okay,
I was going to pick King Size.
Oh,
I pick all the movies that are over an hour long.
What a jip. What a jip. So the big winner, do you have a big winner for...
You guys
are
so jealous that I am so much better at this stuff than you. It's actually kind of shocking.
By cheating.
It's actually kind of shocking.
Do you have a... Disturbing. Is any movie going to sweep?
No.
Dominate.
No, I don't think any movie really has dominated in a long time. You it's been a while since you had something take like eight awards or something like that.
Yes.
I mean, look, I think that here are the locks at this point. I think 1917 is basically a lock for Best Picture. I think it's either going to be Mendez or Bong for Best Director. It's going to be Tarantino for Best Original Screenplay. I wouldn't be surprised if Gerwig gets the adapted screenplay, but it also might be Taika Waititi for the Hitler movie,
which is not a gimmick movie.
Funny Hitler movie, which you know,
Hitler Moonrise Kingdom,
which was its own little thing. And then Phoenix is definitely going to win Best Actor. Renee Zellweger will win Best Actress. Laura Dern will win Best Supporting Actress, and Brad Pitt will win Best Supporting Actor. I mean, like everything,
you
all
heard
of the major
first, folks.
All of the major categories are basically spoken for at this point, almost. I mean,
yeah. So I have paid zero attention to this. Brad Pitt was nominated for Best Supporting.
Yes.
What was DiCaprio nominated for?
Best Actor.
Okay.
DiCaprio was Best Actor. Brad Pitt was Best Supporting Actor.
He's not going to win Best Actor?
No. Phoenix is 100% going to win Best Actor. Joaquin Phoenix has won every precursor award, more or less.
Yeah. No, yeah. So, his performance is crazy.
It is crazy. Did you mention Laura Dern, Sonny?
Yeah, Laura Dern's going to win for Marriage Story. Best Supporting Actress.
I thought you were going to say for The Last Jedi.
No, she was snubbed. This is a makeup award. She was snubbed for that.
Right, she was snubbed. Like Al Pacino. Al Pacino and The Godfather. Like Russell Crowe. Right.
Holdo. Holdo is the great unrewarded character.
Yeah, sure. Okay, great. We're actually going to talk about, however, on this episode, a movie that came in sixth place. Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman, which made $5.6 million over the weekend. I thought this was a very interesting movie. If we can hear it through the construction.
I mean, it's not on my end, so I can just do my review and then...
Great. Hold on.
We should leave all this in. This is great stuff.
Sonny, how about a big boy review of The Gentleman?
So The Gentleman is Guy Ritchie's return to the British gangster thriller crime heist type movie that made him famous. You know, this is kind of how he got to start with Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch, Revolver, Rock and Roller. Those are kind of my favorite of his movies. And he has kind of shifted away from that mode of filmmaking in the last few years, trying to get into the kind of big budget studio spectacular mode. Movies like The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which is pretty good. Chav King Arthur, which is pretty bad. And Aladdin, which is hit and miss.
You're a monster.
I
did Aladdin.
What about Sherlock Holmes?
Aladdin. Oh yeah. And the bad Sherlock Holmes movies. He has, I think, successfully shifted into becoming a mainstream big budget blockbuster type filmmaker. But I really prefer these smaller movies, and I liked The Gentleman a lot. So The Gentleman is kind of standard Ritchie gangster stuff in that it is a bunch of kind of interwoven storylines that all come together at the end with, you know, kind of big archetypal, some might say stereotypical characters competing against each other. In this struggle for control of the British marijuana trade, Matthew McConaughey stars as Mickey, who's a American-born lower-class kid who wins a Rhodes scholarship, goes to England, learns that he can make way more money selling weed to the toffs, and gets into the game that way. He wants to sell his business to the guy from Succession. I can't even remember what his name is, who is a Jewish gangster, also American, looking to muscle his way into the British weed trade.
Jeremy Strong.
Is he Mark related to Mark Strong at all? Because when I saw Jeremy Strong, I was like, oh, Mark Strong's brother, but no, definitely not.
Boy,
definitely
not. I hope not. Because
definitely not.
Brother. That is the worst sibling. Like, one guy since, got all since, yeah. of the
since Dennis and Randy
stuff.
Quaid.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, really.
Okay. And they are kind of mixed up with an Asian gangster called Dry Eye. Now, I'm not gonna I don't want to get into the plot of this movie too much because I part of the fun is just watching it kind of all play out. But here's what I found most interesting about this flick is that it almost feels like kind of an older, more mature Guy Ritchie gangster movie. It felt a little bit slower. It's still stylized, but it is not stylized in the way that Lock, Stock, or Snatch was stylized. Gone are kind of the hip hop quick cut montages. Instead, he relies a little bit more on structure here, and a little bit more on. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but narrative trickery, I think, than he does in some of his other movies, though those movies also still are very much products of narrative trickery. So I don't know. But it definitely feels like a little bit more contemplative, a little bit more mature, a little bit older. And I don't know. I loved it. I think it's great. I enjoyed kind of the way that Ritchie plays with our expectations a bit. There are several occasions in the movie where moments of kind of what would be perceived as hilarious violence turn out to be imaginations of a British reporter who's played by Hugh Grant in this movie.
I can't believe you left him out when you were listening to people who were great.
Because I haven't even gotten to Colin Farrell. Yeah, Colin Farrell, yeah, who has like the best performance in this movie, I think, Irish boxer.
Loved him.
Who's a mentor to a bunch of gangster types.
Youths.
So anyway, I liked it. I hope you guys liked it as much as I did.
Yeah, I loved it. Thank you, Sonny. I thought it was I loved the casting, and I thought everybody was perfectly cast, especially Matthew McConaughey. He's got such a mellow and calm voice, JVL.
So we are back to talk about my favorite sponsor, Calm.com. That's Calm.com. It is an app for your phone or your iPad or your device that has guided meditations, breathing exercises, cool white noise, and what we use it for all the time in our house, sleep stories. So we do sleep stories all the time. Whenever I do the spot, I often tell, I just like pull up what we listened to last night with one of the kids. But I actually found something as I was just noodling around the app last night, and the kids didn't listen to it because I wanted to save it for this show. All right. Are you, boys, are you ready? Sonny, are you ready?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Well, hello there. I'm Matthew McConaughey, and tonight I'll be reading a special sleep story called Wonder.
That's right.
Matthew McConaughey.
All right. Matthew McConaughey doing a sleep story on Calm. So this is what they add new stories every week. They add new everything, new breathing exercises, new meditations, every single week. And they get people with great voices. And so, you know, some of the people they get are like poets or surfers. Some people are the voices you know before. And some people, like Matthew McConaughey, as soon as you hear this, you're like, yes, of course, Matthew McConaughey would put me to sleep because the guy's got a great voice. So everything about it is fantastic. It works on kids like you cannot believe. And it works for adults, too. We use it sometimes, too, although, in fairness, my children normally wear me out so much that I fall asleep on my own anyhow. For a limited time, our show listeners will get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/subbeacon. It comes with unlimited access to Calm's entire library and new content added every week. Get started today at calm.com/subbeacon. That's calm.com/subbeacon.
Thank you, JVL.
How'd you like that, Matthew McConaughey?
Fantastic.
Something else, right?
Yeah, I know. It puts me in a mellow mood. So, JVL, what did you think about this movie?
I liked it a lot. I mean, it's fluffy. It is, as anybody who likes British gangster movies will really enjoy this, I think, because it's not derivative. It's, you know, in a lot of ways, Snatch is derivative of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, but it's an improved version of it, right? So it's, you know, it isn't Bad Boys 2 to Bad Boys 1, where they're just redoing the same thing. It's Guy Ritchie's getting better at his craft. And this is not derivative of any way, except that it's in the same general vein, as Sonny said. It's a more mature version of it. It's a great deal of fun. The story is good. The performances are fantastic. It's really, I don't know, I enjoy the heck out of it. Like, I would think for our listeners in general, this movie is going to hit all of your pleasure centers.
It did most, yes. I gave this movie an A.
Yeah!
So let's break it down. Duration, under 2 hours.
Very brisk.
Amazing.
Yep.
And, okay, let's say plot. I was worried at first. I was a little confused. Hugh Grant's talking to him. And I'm thinking, is this like Get Shorty? Is he talking about a fictional script about something that hasn't happened? Is Matthew McConaughey, who we see early on, just in his imagination? What is happening? So it took me a while to figure out, is this happening also concurrently? Sort of. It's like partly real and partly speculative on Hugh Grant's part about the, you know, because there's missing, you know, there's gaps in the story. So you have to work on it in that sense, or at least I did. Violence is great. And nudity, there's none. But I'll tell you, I was pleasantly surprised by Michelle Dockery, who I knew from Downton Abbey. She's always come across as being very cold to me. I was never a fan of hers. I always like Cousin Rose. Thank you. But
anybody who watched Downton Abbey and wasn't into Michelle Dockery is insane.
Cousin Rose. And she, because Cousin Rose would have been attracted to me just to rebel against the family. Thank you very much. But Michelle Dockery was great in this. And also, you know, speaking of Downton Abbey, both that series and this movie touches on this very real problem, which is English lords and earls having these grand titles and big old properties, but no longer the money.
Yeah.
You know, and so what do they do? How can they keep hold of these gorgeous estates? And it's a great idea that says that where Matthew McConaughey comes in and says, well, I'll, you know, grow my pot here. And it's never killed anyone. So, you know, it's not like Lord, what's his name? Lord George and the heroine, you know, the Asian gangsters. And so that was really interesting. So, I gave it an A. You mentioned Colin Farrell, Sonny. really sort of unexpected. I mean, you know, I like him fine, but
did you know
I thought he
could
was
be
great.
Funny like this? Because yeah, I like Colin Farrell in everything I've ever seen him.
But what about In Bruges? Have you? He's funny in Bruges.
Yeah, I guess
funny,
he is.
But also dark. That was a dark movie. I thought that was a dark movie. But all the way going back to when he played Whitwer in Minority Report.
Yeah,
you know, Minority Report.
He
was very good.
He was. I mean, Daredevil, one of the worst superhero movies ever made, and Colin Farrell is great in every scene he's in that.
That's right. My favorite part, obviously, spoiler alerts, is in the end when he gives the four symbol. You know, he gives four fingers to like, I did you not three favors,
four favors.
Yeah, four times.
Something about the part as written reminded me of the Brad Pitt part in Snatch, in the way that Brad Pitt sort of steals every scene he's in that movie, and maybe it's just because they're both boxers. Or maybe it's just because both of them are so damn funny. Because there's nothing really going on that's the same. But I don't know.
I did have three concerns. Or like one is a question. And the other two, what I thought were kind of weird plot holes. So I didn't think it was perfect. And in fact, early on, I was worried that the movie might drag too much. Because you have such high expectations if you see Snatch. In those kind of movies, you're expecting this thing. But it does eventually then pick up, and it does come together sort of midway. So the first was a question, which is in the end, he's McConaughey's telling Jeremy Strong, his character Matthew, to transfer funds or and a pound of the pound of flesh. So, like, is that real? I mean, is it one or the other? Was it supposed to be both?
It's both.
Both.
So, like, in Seven.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then the other two are kind of, I don't know about these potential plot holes. One, the Russian problem. I don't think it's really solved. I mean, they got rid of the three goons, but I assume that a Russian gangster has more than three henchmen, and they'll be coming after him. That's my thought. Yes? No.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, right? At some point, you got to let the beefs die, right?
I don't know. I mean, okay. And then finally, I love Eddie Marsan. He always plays the same sort of weaselly guy. He kind of has a weaselly look. I loved it. I thought it was funny. The reactions to the video that they don't show you, which is even better, of course. But I wasn't completely convinced that he was given some drug that made him go bestiality crazy with the pigs. Like, what drug is that? And he doesn't remember.
Vic wants to know what drug that is.
I want to know, so I don't have that problem.
I don't want to remember. I don't want to remember my carnal lust for the porcine friends.
That's right.
He's the best Inspector Lestrade ever in the history of Sherlock Holmes adaptations.
Okay. All right.
My one question on this whole movie in terms of plot was, who was it that poisoned the Lord's daughter? So she ODs.
OD? She took it with her. She took it with her when she left the drug den.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, I think she did it on
She just ODs. She wasn't like poisoned by one of the gangs.
No.
Oh, okay. That's the only thing I wasn't 100% sure of.
I enjoyed the whole subplot with the Asian warlords and the gangsters there.
I thought it was actually very good, and I thought again Richie does something kind of clever here, which is that he makes Dry Eye smart and cold and calculating as opposed to like wild and vicious, at least at the beginning, mm-hmm. right? So like the in the introductory scene when Hugh Grant's journalist character introduces him, it's like kind of a stereotypical image of an Asian gangster like firing a machine gun wildly into the air and cackling maniacally. And then Charlie Hunnam's character, we haven't even talked about Charlie Hunnam yet, but Charlie Hunnam's character is like, that's not the Dry Eye I know. And Hugh Grant's character is like, oh yes, I was just trying to make sure you were paying attention. And it's like a more urbane kind of standard British gangster. He just happens to be Asian. Charlie Hunnam is fantastic in this movie. This might be Charlie Hunnam's great role.
It's certainly some of the best running he's ever done on screen.
That was some serious running.
There's some good running, but like
some
just
of his best running.
The just like everything.
The problem is he's covering ground when he runs, and he's not running in place which is when the best running happens, is when you're running.
Yeah, if you run in place, though, that doesn't do any good because you're just running in place. You got to run.
Well, there's a guy who was getting ready to do that, and he says, "Really? You know that doesn't work." He says that to him, doesn't he?
The kid. The best part is when he, I love the scene where he's chasing the kids who have taken the video of the dead body, and then he just like pulls out the machine gun and fires it into the air. He's like, "I'm tired of this." There is something about Charlie Hunnam who has this kind of posh gangsterism in this movie that is like his natural born role. It's like Winston Wolfe, right? Like a
British Winston Wolfe. He's a half fixer, half chief of staff.
Yeah. Not quite. I mean, Winston Wolfe is like a straight up fixer.
Very well dressed.
Is a straight up fixer. This guy's more of a. He's more of a. What's it from The Godfather?
Al Neri?
No.
Consigliere.
Consigliere. Yeah, he's more of a consigliere, I think.
Okay, ah. It's great. Can I say one of my favorite bits in the movie is so these hoodlums break into a grow house.
Yes,
and they go sitting around, and they're dressed in these insane Burberry tracksuits and. They're setting up cameras everywhere, and all of a sudden, a couple guys start walking out.
For viral video.
Hey, check out who's here. And then more guys start coming out, and more guys. And we are thinking that the joke is that these hoodlums are about to get their asses beat. But then it turns out the joke is actually the opposite, where these hoodlums are all trained fighters.
Yeah, they're all MMA. Yeah.
And they beat the crap out of all these guys. And then the first thing they do, like in the van on the way home, is cut it together into a fight porn video with like cool French MC Solar in the background and post it on YouTube. Because that's what the kids today would do.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what makes it funny.
Fight porn. That's right. No, I thought it was great. Where does it fall in the Guy Ritchie oeuvre?
I don't think it's as I still think Snatch is his best film, but I probably like this more than Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah, I would say this is the
1, 2, 3 in that order.
Yeah. One or the second best of his gangster movies. Can we also talk briefly about the insanely funny, and we can't actually talk about the substance of it, but the anti-political correctness scene in the boxing gym.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Where one of the guys is called something, and then he gets like all upset about it, and Colin Farrell is like, "No, he's it." I don't know
how to describe the scene.
He says, "No, no, the way he's not saying that all of that are those." Right.
No, he's
descriptive.
I forget
and
what
in
the
fact,
actual.
One might even see it as a term of endearment that he feels like he can use that with you.
Yeah. I forget what the actual term was, but he calls him like a black idiot or something, right? And he's like, "We're not
a black idiot.
See you next Tuesday."
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then he's like, no, he can't call me that. That's racist. And he's like, he's not saying that all black people are C-words, just you. Which is, you know, fair point.
Yeah. Can I just say, I think everything in American culture would be, literally every single thing.
Oh, if you threw around that more?
Would be better if we were allowed to use the C-word the way Brits
agreed.
Do.
I want not, this is my, this is like a passion
I will
project
die on
of
this
mine.
Hill.
Passion project of mine is the C word.
Mostly to men. Great. I think they only call men that.
Yes.
The C word is underrated.
Could you do that? Right. Can we make the C word happen so long as it is only applied to men? Does that then make everybody okay?
Well, that would
happy,
be sexist,
or is
though.
That somehow terrible still and we're not allowed to do it? Yeah, and you know what? Why is it that Americans don't get upset at the Brits for using it?
It's a cultural thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the American culture PC warriors are like, they just like, wow, that's just their culture. We're not bothered by it.
Look, man, I'm with you. I want the C word to be used all the time in every situation.
When I get to the button of scripts and movies that were in development who could start changing
Hollywood. Inserting the C word into scripts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll start doing that.
What's the line? We need to get rid of the C word, or the C word's got to go.
in Arrested Development, the closest I've ever seen this is the Arrested Development joke where they're talking about the boat, the C word, SEAWARD, and
she walks in.
He says, "Job, get rid of the C word." Lucille Bluth walks in and says, "I'll go when I'm good and ready."
okay.
Do we have any other thoughts? It's kind of a short episode.
Well, yeah, I mean, once we take out all the construction noises, it's going to be five minutes long.
Plus, but it felt long because it took, I think, 20 minutes once we got all the technicalities. But we got this to work, and it worked on your end. This is amazing.
Yeah,
it's
like you never left us. We'll see. We'll see if we can keep this going. We'll see. I mean, we'll have some outtakes here. There's got to be some outtake stuff talk about.
Sure, I do. Okay.
We haven't even talked about my dealings with Spectrum yet.
We'll get to that after the credits. Okay, wonderful. I have one too. We could do two then. That's great. This will work out just fine. Do you have any other corrections and shout outs?
Can we shout out to Paul again?
Paul Crookston.
Thank you, Paul.
Producing this episode. Spent a lot of time yesterday in the studio figuring out the mix minus.
So what are we going to do nice for Paul as a thank you?
Whatever.
Not fire him for doing his job.
That's true. Thank you.
Okay,
Paul, are you listening? Paul, can you hear me?
He's sitting right here.
Can he hear me, though? Has he got headphones on? I can't see him. Okay, good.
Paul, what watch are you wearing today?
I don't wear a watch.
You don't wear a watch?
Now I'm not going to get a
watch. Of course he doesn't wear a watch. He's a millennial, man.
Well, we are going to fix that. That's what we're going to do.
No, you know what?
Bam. That's happening.
Paul, today, free snacks and free soda for you in the office.
Don't you miss that, Sonny? Take him to the Poke Bowl. Get him a medium. It'll be a large.
When he's with me. When he's with me, that'll happen. Okay, good. Listen, that's all the time we're giving, not really, to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments, tweet us at Sonny Bunch, at Victorino Mattis. JV Last, are you coming back? You came back a little bit.
I came back to help push RebellerMedia.com.
RebellerMedia.com.
Yeah.
That's right.
I came back to push. You know, if we ever do
and last week's episode you did.
Different.
You came back for last week's episode.
Oh, I did come back for last week's episode. I can't believe we haven't talked about that at all. Because Sonny's non-reaction to that.
Yeah.
It drove me insane.
Did you listen
to the episode? As I knew you were designing it to do.
You have to understand, I don't listen to podcasts that I'm not on. So if I'm not on a podcast, I'm not going to listen to it. And I don't listen to most podcasts I am on because I hate the sound of my voice. So I don't actually listen to podcasts. This is a true story. I have probably produced more podcasts than I have actually listened to. I have produced more podcast series than individual episodes of podcasts I have listened to, I think.
You mean to tell me you don't listen to the commentary podcast?
I don't listen to any podcasts. I don't listen to any podcasts. I just don't listen to podcasts. When I listen to things, I listen to like books on tape. Audiobooks, audibles, if you will.
Okay. Well, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes.
I wish you could see me shrugging because I'm shrugging right now. I just don't listen to podcasts.
I can see you in our half second delay.
So when you did this thing with Saliza, everyone started atting me on Twitter, and I was like, that's unfortunate. Well, I guess I'm done with that show. Not listening to that since I'm not on it anymore. But I'm back.
Just type in Subbeacon at our podcasts. We're there. Leave a review, a nice review. Look, Sonny's back.
I'm back.
Tell your friends. Until next time.
You didn't even notice how we gave Saliza the ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba.
He actually did that.
I literally did not listen to the episode. I literally did the entire episode
just for you.
This thing was like Rick D's longest dedication to you, and you trolled me, and I trolled you right back.
It wasn't a troll. It was a love letter.
You did a gimmick podcast, and I refused to take part.
Oh, boy. Look at that. We're getting trolled right now. Sonny.
That's the 1917 of podcasts. That one.
How is the wine?
Oh, you mean the best podcast of the year?
Ever.
Eh.
Uh-huh. Before we get to that, your cable situation. I saw you as a blue check mark on Twitter, then started doing the whole thing.
Oh, man. I was so excited to leave Spectrum, which I hate too,
because I had. Do you guys remember my Spectrum meltdown last summer?
No, I don't remember that.
I do remember that because it was down at the beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right. The one at the beach.
They are the worst.
Yeah, I do remember that. No, I was excited to leave Comcast behind. Comcast is gone. I was like, new cable company, new start, fresh start. And I was so excited that I tried to set up service ahead of time, right? So I called like 3 weeks before I moved. I called Spectrum and I said, I would like to start my service on this day, on January 23rd or whatever. Can you ship the equipment but delay it so it will get there like a day before I get there, so it's not just sitting on my front stoop? And the lady I talked to on the phone was like, yeah, that's totally fine. We can 100% do that. We'll start the service on that day. We'll ship the box out the day before. It'll be great. So I go through this whole process. I wanted to get an Apple TV instead of a cable box, so I could watch. So I could, like, instead of like renting a cable box and giving it back, I would just keep the Apple TV at the end of it. And then everything was going to be perfect. So I call and I set all this up, and literally like an hour later, there's an email pops into my inbox. Shipment from FedEx, scheduled to arrive at your new house in one day from Spectrum. And I get back on the phone with Spectrum. I'm like, what is this? You said you were going to delay. And they were like, oh, we're sorry. I don't know what happened. Technically, we're not even allowed to delay shipments like that. So I don't know why they agreed to it. So I was like, okay, fine. So
that's the Spectrum move. So one person tells you something, and then when you talk to somebody else, they say, well, that person didn't say it. And if they did, they weren't allowed to and weren't supposed to.
So whatever. I like have my realtor came over and grabbed the box for me, put it in the house. It's fine. So we move to the house and we get there and none of our stuff is here, obviously, but there is a box from Spectrum. So I go and I set up the cable and it's a self-install kit. I was told that the house had been pre-wired for cable, and it was kind of, except for the fact that the cable was not actually plugged into anything. So I go to set it up and I get everything all set up. And of course there's no signal. So I have to call Spectrum. They're like, okay, we'll send somebody out. This is the one good part of this whole situation. The guy who came out here was fantastically competent. Got everything done, got it all squared away. Perfect. Thank you, John, or whatever your name was. You're the best.
It wasn't so perfect that you bothered to remember his name.
No, I didn't.
Depends on this, Sonny.
You know, I did not. But thank you to that guy. He was great. So then I noticed that all I have are the all I had was the cable router and the cable modem. So I don't have my Apple TV. So I call Spectrum again, and I say, hey, I was supposed to have an Apple TV in this self-install kit, and one never came. Oh, okay, sure. Hold on, let me transfer you to Apple. Guy transfers me to the Apple department. I have to explain the whole problem again. He's like, okay, we'll send one out. He transfers me to somebody else to send it out, and I have to explain the whole problem again. So I do this like four times until I finally get somebody who is like, okay, we'll send the Apple TV out. It should come in like 2 days. 2 days later, nothing has come. So this isn't a huge problem because I still don't have my stuff, which is coming via Mayflower. But once my stuff actually gets here, I'm like, okay, I can't watch TV. I can't actually watch the TV that I'm paying for. So I call Spectrum again and I say, hey, for the love of God, send me a freaking Apple TV here so I can please get this set up and taken care of. And they're like, oh, yeah, hold on. We'll get that set up right away. We'll get that. And once again, the same thing. Transferred to like four different people. I have to explain the thing four different times. And still no Apple TV comes. So I call them up 2 days later and I'm saying, hey, for God's sake, I'm going to burn down your office. I'm going to sack it like the Visigoths taking Rome if you don't send me an Apple TV. So they're like, okay, fine, we'll send it out. So they finally do send it out. They send it out UPS, but they require a signature. They send it to my empty house where no one is. That requires a signature. So I'm like, so it doesn't come the first day. I'm like, okay, well, this is great. Let me change it so I can pick it up at the UPS store. They have altered the things so I can't actually, I can't have it held at a UPS store. I can't have it left on my doorstop. There has to physically be somebody at my house for like 8 hours a day whenever the UPS guy could show up. So I just canceled it. I had it sent back to Spectrum and I bought one from Amazon.com. And let me tell you about the purchase from Amazon.com. It came 8 hours later. It came 8 hours later, right to my house. I was able to set it up myself without any muss or fuss. And this is why the long story. I've gone on for 5 minutes about this now, but I have a point. The point is that whenever you see a survey of organizations that are trusted by the people of the United States of America, you know what's always at the top? Amazon, Google, and the military. And you know why Amazon, Google, and the military are at the top? Because they get stuff done. Here's Amazon I order it from Amazon. It's there 8 days later. You know what? I love Amazon. Fantastic. I Google something. I get the results in 0.0006 seconds. Fantastic. Love you, Google. I try to deal with a cable company, and it's 17 phone calls with five idiots who can't help me. So that's that. It was the most intensely frustrating thing that I've ever had to put up with a cable company. And once again, I've had Comcast for 15 years before this. I never had anything that was remotely this frustrating.
So what I wanted to know, Sonny, is you tweeted it out, and then immediately, and everyone jumped on, and then immediately I saw they commented, and please DM us and tell us what the problem is. How did that go over?
The DM, you know, the guy on the DM end of things was, at the very least, quick and responsive. He was not helpful in any way. Yes. He was not actually helpful, but he was...
Same experience I had.
But he was...
The DM response team is merely there to make it look to the public like they're responding to your concern.
Oh, please, let's talk.
Yeah. So
we want to help you with this. DM us, and we'll get the problem figured out. They never can actually do that.
So the lesson learned here is Spectrum is bad. As opposed to, I got confused when you were complaining because I was thinking you were talking about Spectravision from the hotel rooms back in the day.
That's good. That works well.
You know why I like that? Because it was like 2 minutes, a free preview. That's really all I need. You know, to watch Harry and the Hendersons, Beethoven's Fifth.
Right. So anyway, that was my Spectrum story. Hopefully, everyone stuck around for that.
Okay, good. We good?
I'm good. Victorina, you said you had something else.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Okay,
don't leave me here.
Have some time. You know, as some people remembered on Twitter, Sunday was my birthday. And so,
happy birthday.
Thank you. And I got something that I've always wanted, which is a giant stainless steel cocktail shaker. A giant one.
How many inches?
How?
It's huge.
I don't.
No. It's huge. And it's enough that my complaint was that if I make a martini, it's barely enough for me and another person. So this is one of the taller ones,
you know. You can share? Is it double-sided?
Can you pour it out of both ends?
Can you just, for me. Do you just drink it straight out of the shaker?
Well, this is where I can fit about three big martinis in there, but I also thought...
So like one lunch.
Four. If I take the ice out... Yes, one lunch. If I take the ice out... And just have chilled gin from the freezer, then I could just do gin and vermouth without having the ice in there to dilute it.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that.
The Vic Mattis special.
I'm sure that's fine.